السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, there is no time to go into any detailed explanation of this ayat of the Quran Sharif which you heard in the khutbah of the nikah, and also the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam in which he says an-nikahu min sunnati. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam calls this nikah his way of life, his sunnat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the Quran Sharif, there are so many ayat, so many verses which relate to marriage, which relate to relationship between husband and wife, which relate to family relationships. Now all these things have been mentioned in the Quran Sharif, it has been mentioned in the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Whenever there is an occasion of nikah here, then we switch over the topic that we were continuing with. So nikah has taken place, so therefore a few things with regards to nikah, which we have heard many, many times, but just to refresh our memories and to remind us that we have not as yet begun practicing upon those teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and as a result, there is so much of disaster in so many homes. Of course, sometimes it is not healthy or it is not appropriate that we should be discussing family breakdowns and other such issues on the occasion of nikah. On the occasion of nikah, we should be discussing the virtues of the nikah itself and the happiness that it brings and the tranquility and peace in the lives of people that it brings and the benefits of the nikah in this world and in the akhirat. That was the appropriate thing. But unfortunately, when we experience some kind of a problem which is in vogue and in abundance, and practically every home, somebody or the other is suffering from such a kind of sickness or pain or problem, so then we have to change our tune also. Now it is very sad that we have to discuss these type of things on the occasion of nikah. So therefore it's got nothing to do with the nikah which has taken place. It is for our young brothers, sisters, those who are not married as yet and those who will be getting married. It is for all, whoever is listening. We have many sisters also listening over the receivers. So what I am saying is this, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam called this nikah his sunnat. Now when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he says that this is my way of life, it is my sunnat, it is my practice. And any person who turns away from this practice, the person who does not implement in his life this teaching of mine, so then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that he is not from amongst us. That means he is not following my way. So many ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, for example, one person by the name of Uqaf. He was a young sahabi who had the ability to get married, but he was not marrying. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him, Uqaf, if you had been from amongst the Nasara, then you would have been a monk. But our way is the way of marriage. Now what harsh word Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam addressing the assembly of youth, in other words, those people who have got the ability to marry, those who have got the financial, the physical ability. We are not talking about palace, that the person must have a palace, he must have a big mansion, he must have a bank balance that is touching the skies, he must have a Rolls Royce and a BMW or a Mercedes Benz. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the person who can reasonably provide for the wife. And it is Allah Ta'ala's system that as the children come, they come with their own risk and sustenance. And there are many, many cases where the children brought such barakat in homes that it was unimaginable. The person might have been a battler. He was struggling to make ends meet. But he had the ability to get married, so he made nikah. Then one child comes, things get a little more tight and difficult. Second one comes, he now, shaitan whispers into his heart and mind that how will you manage providing for the second one. And then the third one comes and suddenly so much of barakat, the person gets an increase in his salary or he gets a better job or he gets some kind of promotion. Or Allah Ta'ala provides him from sources that were unexpected and full of barakat and the person is able to manage providing. So it's not we that provide, it's Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who gives us the ability to provide for those children. Allah Ta'ala is the one who sends the sustenance with everyone that comes into this world. If sometimes a person is handicapped or the person is very old and some child or some friend or some family member is providing for him, then he too should not think that I am the one that's providing. It's Allah Ta'ala who is sending the risk and sustenance of that handicapped person to that person of wealth and health, and he is instructed and directed that now you take care of this old person, you take care of this handicapped person, because he cannot go and work, he cannot go to the marketplace. So therefore it's now your duty to provide. So it is actually Allah Ta'ala who gives that extra sustenance to that person to now provide. So he should not get elated and think that I have done everything for this person. There are many incidents over there. In the 15 minutes, what can we really discuss? So nikah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that it is my way of life. Therefore, addressing the youth, he said, Ya ma'ashara shabab man istata'a minkum al-ba'at falyatazawwaj. In other words, he's telling them that if you've got the ability to marry, then you should get married. Because it is going to protect your eyesight, protect your gaze from haram. It will protect the gaze from haram. And it will protect your chastity also. The person will be prevented from zina. If the desire comes for zina, then he will go to his wife. And I've explained this in previous occasions also when we had nikah talks here, that many people have this doubt that Rasulullah SAW said that the person, if he marries, then this is what is going to happen. But we don't see it happening because people are getting married but they're still carrying on with their illicit love relationships. Many of them have got their mistresses. Many of them are going to the prostitute quarters and yet they've got wives. So this is not an address to such kind of people. This is an address to those people who have got a natural urge and the person now gets married and he's got taqwa in his life. He restrains himself from haram. So then inshallah that person will be protected. That person will be protected. But if the person has got no taqwa in his life and he just goes and gets married, he is already involved sometimes and he's got married because father said must get married, mother said must get married to a certain girl or a certain boy the girl must get married to. But they haven't terminated that love relationship that they have. So what is going to happen after that? Will it control the gaze? So we have to understand the hadith in its proper perspective. Nevertheless, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is encouraging. Shaitan, it is reported that when he was rejected by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then at that time he asked Allah ta'ala for extension of life. He wanted life till the day of Qiyamah to mislead and misguide the people. Now he required something to misguide, he required something to mislead, and he required something to trap the human being. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala offered him gold and silver. So he said, yes, indeed this gold and silver, it is such a thing that people can get trapped. But it is not such a trap that I am really looking for. Some people will get trapped in gold and silver. They'll start going and buying and selling haram. Or they will forget Allah Ta'ala when they have too much of gold and silver. But that is not what I am really looking for. I want something better than that. So Allah Ta'ala offered him precious gems, priceless gems. He said, this is also a very good bait, but it's not sufficient. It's not something that I'm really looking forward to. I'm looking forward to something really better than even this. Something that can really tie the person. Doesn't allow him to come out. So then he was offered food, clothing, silk and everything else. He said, well, this is also something good, because the person will now, in his love for good food, good clothing, good car, the person will forget Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But it's not very good. It's not something that will tie up those servants of yours who are making some sort of namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. It's not going to tie them up. I'm just explaining to you that hadith. So then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, well, then this alcohol, wine, brandy, music. So then he starts smiling. He said, there's something now. I'm getting somewhere now. This is something that is going to tie up a lot of people. Wine, music, bread. Such kind of haram entertainment. And in our time, where do we not find haram entertainment? Especially in these days, on this month of July, when we have the handicap, so many people will be taken for a ride. Their ride will be faster than how fast the horses rode, because of all the money that they had put there. So we have that, we have the gunstand, we have all the volleyball and all other kind of things taking place on the beachfront. Now everything is going to happen. The cinemas, the theaters, the rave clubs, the newspapers are going to advertise, the radio stations are going to advertise, the magazines are going to advertise. Now that is all the baits of shaitan. So he got happy. He said, well, at least we're getting somewhere with this music and with this alcohol and wine. But still I want something even better than that. So then pretty women was present. He said, this is the bait that I was looking for. This is something that will tie even the pious and the righteous, who are pious and righteous outwardly, but their hearts do not brim and beat with the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Outward piety is not going to prevent them also from this bait. All the other strings they will break, but this one string they will fail to break. And we have seen throughout history that this is what has happened. People of great, great knowledge, learned people, scholars, sometimes alims, sometimes muftis, sometimes qari, sometimes haji, sometimes the person who is in works of deen, tabligh and dawat, sometimes the person is in khanqas, going by mashayikh, sometimes the person is a trustee of a masjid or a madrasa, sometimes the person is in a cabinet, sometimes the person is in the government, highest position in the land. But this is one bait, one trap of shaitan that many have failed. When shaitan laid down this trap, they fell into this trap and they got tied. So how do you come out of this? To come out of that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam recommended this nikah. And nikahu min sunnati, that is what you mean. That is the only thing, because the person has got a natural inclination. Allah Ta'ala created that so there may be perpetuation of the human race. But this woman, shaitan has used to trap good, good people. It had brought down dynasties and empires in the past. Fights, quarrels, arguments have taken place over women. Shootings and murders and killings have taken place. Allah Ta'ala wants to give us a life of peace, of happiness, of tranquility, of serenity, of joy, of comfort. Allah Ta'ala wants to give us in our hearts that kind of sukoon that which the kings also do not know of. Even though the person may not have that amount of money with him, he may be wearing patched clothes, he may be living in a shelter, he may be living in a hut, he may be black or white, but Allah Ta'ala will give him that sukoon when he is going to obey Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this nikah, we have made it so difficult because of all the extras that we have included. There must be a hall, there must be feeding of so many people, there must be so much purchases of jewelry and clothing and all these type of things. So the person who's got 3 or 4 daughters or 5 or 6 daughters, then he feels that it's impossible. How am I going to get my children married? Yet it can be done so easily. Just an incident comes to my mind. Suddenly it just came. Very recently in Madina Sharif, in the courtyard in Madina Sharif, just outside where the Roza Mubarak is, then outside there is a courtyard, and then there is a Jannatul Baqi on the other side. So people at night, they come there, they read, they make the read Durud Salam, and sit quietly, make dua, and they go. So it must, and now that the doors are open of the Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even whole night. So about 12:30, 12:45, I was sitting outside there, looking and gazing at the beautiful green dome and absorbing the nur and the barakat and the rahmat that descends there. How can that be put in words? Sometimes when I look at that green dome, I just say what Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, that when the fragrance of the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala comes into my heart, then the vocabulary of the languages of the world fail to give a description to that fragrance that comes into my heart of the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. And that is indeed the case when the person is picturing or looking at the green dome from the outside, and he knows that beneath that green dome lies the greatest after Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. لا يمكن الثناء كما كان حقه بعد خدا بزرگ تو یہ قصہ مختصر نہ مسجد نہ مسجد کے اونچے مینارے نہ قبلہ نہ کعبہ نہ مکہ مدینہ اگر محمد نہ ہوتے تو کچھ بھی نہ ہوتا. Now when the person is picturing that Allah Ta'ala, the greatest after him, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is directly beneath there, how can we have words to describe? And the billions of angels from all over the world that are bringing the durood and salam to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So in that courtyard, while sitting there, make dua, and after dua, a person comes running. He says, Maulana, Maulana, please can you help us just perform one nikah? So I said, 1:15 in the morning, what kind of nikah is that? So I looked up, I see there are about 15-20 ladies in niqab, pardas on one side, they're sitting near one pillar that side, and about 10-15 men sitting one side. So I said, what happened? He says, no, the nikah was supposed to be after Isha. But what happened is that Maulana, who was supposed to perform the nikah, he came with us, but after that we can't seem to find him. So from 11 o'clock we are waiting for somebody to perform the nikah. So we went searching for him, but we still can't seem to find him. So we saw you making dua here. So I went there. I said, is the father here of the bride? He said, yes, I'm, because we have to make sure everything is above board. So he said, no, I am the father, and I have come from Pakistan. And this groom is from Jeddah, is an engineer. And everything has been arranged. So I went there, read the khutbah, performed the nikah. How can we describe the beauty of that nikah? What do we get in having lavish affairs? And most of the time the person who's organizing that, he himself is in so much of debts. Sometimes the person has gone through liquidation 6 times and is inviting 1,000 people. Some years back, one person told me that a friend of mine, I was dealing with him, he's owing me 60,000 rands. I'm a small person, small fry, just trying to come up, and he liquidated. And not long after that, he had the nikah of his son or daughter, and more than 1,000 people were invited. So as he was walking around those tables, he says, I too was invited, I went. As he was walking around, he was saying, eat well. Achi tarah se khao, barabar khao. So I also said, yes, eat well, because it's our money. It is our money, so eat well. Make the best of it. In any case, so that tranquil atmosphere, such beautiful calm, sukoon, and in that midst, the nikah was performed. If ever I enjoyed performing a nikah in my life, it was that. Yet I performed 1 or 2 nikahs inside the Haram Sharif on the side. But then after that, those families had a lavish affair in those hotels. But what I want to get across to you is that after having performed that nikah and having made dua and saying, Ya Allah, this sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed in such serene, beautiful, tranquil atmosphere, everything quiet, angels of Allah Ta'ala hovering above, bringing durood and salam to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam just on our right hand side there, and the Jannatul Baqi on the left hand. What a beautiful nikah. The feeding after that, a person brought one trolley. In the trolley there were those tubs, the small tubs in which they sell some mince curry, mutton curry, chicken curry, whatever it is. For 5 or 6 riyals you get that. So he brought about 8 or 10 of that for the men and 8 or 10 for the ladies. And some chapati, some water, a little bit of juice. That was the feeding. In about 100 or 200 riyals, the nikah took place. How beautiful and how wonderful it was. That's the time I said to my wife that if only I had another daughter, this is where we would have made a nikah. So beautiful it was. So it's not difficult. We are the ones who are making nikah difficult. Otherwise in nikah there's ijab, qubool, a little bit of mehr, and that's the end of the story. Walima within one's capacity. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that this was his way of life, his sunnat. So his sunnat does not stop there at nikah. The problem is that the time has expired. Otherwise we wanted to discuss some other issues about nikah. So we have 2 minutes left. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his sunnat, the only sunnats that we know, I have said many times, is whether he ate the sweet after the biryani or before the biryani. Everybody wants to know. When there's biryani and sweets, they say he ate sweet before the biryani or after the biryani. I say in the first place, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam didn't eat biryani. Whatever food was available at that time, he ate. Now this is the only sunnat we want to find out, because it's a sweet sunnat. But how did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam enter the home? What was his relationship with his wife and with his children? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam walks into the home with a smile. He never came into the home when he did not have a smile. All his outside worries, he left it outside. The whole ummah's worries he had. We have a little bit of problem with some customer, some client, or with somebody outside, and all that anger is taken out on the wife. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, now without going into all the details, she says that Lana Shamsun Walil Afaqi Shamsun. Say, for us also there is a sun, and for the skies also there's a sun. Both have got sun. But my sun is better than the sun of the skies. That sun which rises in my house, that is better than the sun of the skies. And then she says, the sun outside, it rises during the day, and the sun here rises at night. In other words, she says, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam comes into the house, there's such brightness, such happiness, such joy, such satisfaction, and yet he had other wives also. But look at the wife, how she is expressing joy and happiness. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, how did she console Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam when he returned from Hira? Kalla wallahi la yukhzik Allahu abada. Never, Allah Ta'ala will never cause any kind of embarrassment to come upon you, because you are good, you are kind, you are good to the people. All the details we've got no time to go into now. So when the wife says that my husband is of good character, then we will say this person got good character. So we have to be tolerant. At present there's just beating, and people are just angry, and there is just fitna and fasad that is spreading. So many of them, they write, my husband says, I'll beat you to pulp. So is the Mondi paper mill running out of pulp there? Then now they need human pulp. Allah Ta'ala wants to give us a life of happiness, contentment, satisfaction, sukoon. And the only way is to fulfill the rights. The wives also have to fulfill the rights of the husband. Husbands have to fulfill the rights of the wife. Then there'll be muhabbat, there'll be sukoon, there'll be happiness in the homes. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless this marriage also with bliss and happiness, and all others who are married, and those who have the ability to marry, may Allah give them the tawfiq to get married. And those who for some valid reason are not getting married, may Allah Ta'ala give them the tawfiq to stay with taqwa and taharat all the time. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين